Too much exertion produces autonomic nervous system hit in long COVID, ME/CFS, and fibromyalgia. By Court Johnson, April 13th, 2025. Exercise physiologist Rob Wust's study called Wearable Heart Rate Variability Monitoring identifies autonomic dysfunction and thresholds for post-exertional malaise in long COVID. Did something simple but important. It tracked heart rate variability while assessing activity levels and before and after exercise and during daily activities to get a sense of how the autonomic nervous system in long COVID patients stood up to exertion. In general, we want high heart rate variability readings. Note, though, that heart rate variability levels are highly individual. What is considered high or low for one individual might be different for another. The key is observing how heart rate variability levels fluctuate over time and in relation to exertion. Low heart rate variability levels suggest that sympathetic nervous system dominance is present, also known as a fight or flight process. That, of course, comports well with the wired but tired symptoms found in these diseases. The heart rate variability test tracks a known pattern. Our heart rate speeds up when we inhale and slows down when we exhale. The inhalation triggers sympathetic nervous system activation, while the exhalation triggers the parasympathetic nervous system. Since we both inhale and exhale more when we exercise, an exercise test provides a nice glimpse into how well our autonomic nervous system handles stress. A healthy, flexible cardiovascular system should be characterized by a heart that's able to speed up and slow down rapidly during the long inhalations and exhalations during exercise. The study. This nice-sized 127 long COVID and 21 healthy controls study went well beyond others in the length of time it tracked heart rate variability, several days, and the detail with which it tracked it. It assessed heart rate variability during numerous activities, such as sleep, eating, travel, relaxation, work, walking, exercise, household chores, etc., every hour for 24 hours, after intense exercise, and nighttime after exercise. The authors also used the exercise study to recommend heart rates for each patient that would keep them below their anaerobic threshold, the point at which the body increasingly relies upon the vastly less efficient and ultimately toxic mode of anaerobic energy production. Results. As expected, patients with long COVID had lower power output and oxygen uptake consumption at VT1 than controls. Heart rate variability levels were lower in patients with long COVID than in healthy controls across all activities and during sleep. While heart rate variability levels recovered after strenuous exercise in the healthy controls within 3 to 6 hours, they remained lower for a remarkable 24 hours in long COVID patients, indicating the state of post-exertional malaise had been reached. Mild exercise done at a heart rate of 80 to 90% of VTI, or anaerobic threshold, was better tolerated with heart rate variability levels recovering to a still lower level within 5 to 6 hours. Over 40% of long-term COVID patients recorded heart rates exceeding their anaerobic threshold during their daily activities, indicating that they were exerting too much. Interestingly, heart rate variability dropped the most in mildly affected patients, but not as much in moderately affected patients, presumably because the heart rate variability levels in the moderately affected patients had already bottomed out and simply could not go lower. It took 10 to 13 hours for the heart rate variability levels in moderately affected patients, presumably because heart rate variability levels in the moderately affected patients had already bottomed out and simply could not go lower. It took 10 to 13 hours for the heart rate variability levels in moderately affected patients to increase after exercise intensities above 80%, and 80% is considered mild. exercise and the autonomic nervous system in chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS, and fibromyalgia, FM. Several studies demonstrate that too much exertion produces an autonomic nervous system hit in ME/CFS and fibromyalgia. A 40-person 2022 study entitled Reduced Parasympathetic Reactivation During Recovery from Exercise in Myalgic Encephalomyelitis, Chronic Fatigue Syndrome found normal heart rate variability ratios during rest and exercise, but reduced values overall, suggesting that both the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system had taken a hit. Perhaps in a sign of chronotropic incompetence, ME/CFS patients failed to attain normal heart rates during exercise. It was what happened after exercise, however, that produced the most interest. Once exercise stops, the parasympathetic nervous system should quickly break the sympathetic nervous system and return heart rates to normal. While in the healthy controls they did, 10 minutes after exercise, the heart rates of the ME/CFS patients remained significantly elevated. The authors concluded that the results demonstrated a reduced functional capacity for exercise. Likewise, a recent fibromyalgia study also found the same strange pattern of decreased heart rates during exercise and increased heart rates 30, 120, 180, 300, and 600 seconds after exercise. While it may not seem inconsequential that heart rates don't quickly return to normal, this finding appears to uncover a fundamental weakness. A 1999 study that followed almost 2,500 people found that a delayed decrease in the heart rate during the first minute after exercise was a powerful predictor of overall mortality. The relative risk of dying in the participants, average age 57, doubled over the next 6 years in those with delayed heart rate recoveries. This did not mean they were likely to die, but the risk of dying had increased. Since then, several studies have shown that quick heart rate recovery after exercise is a function of a healthy and responsive parasympathetic nervous system. A similar process appears to be playing out with the mental exertion. Japanese researchers have shown that sympathetic nervous system activity spikes during a cognitive test. Once the test is over, though, the parasympathetic nervous system should step in to shut the sympathetic nervous system down and return the brain and body to a rested state. The failure of the parasympathetic nervous system to activate after the cognitive test was done was highly correlated with fatigue. Nighttime heart rate variability. Intense exercise didn't affect nighttime heart rate variability levels in the healthy controls, but dramatically reduced them in the long-term COVID patients. The decrease in the long-term COVID patients' heart rate variability during sleep may help to explain why it's so difficult to get a good night's sleep after too much physical exertion. Tracking activity levels over time enabled the researchers to determine how different activities affected heart rate variability levels at night. People who engaged in intense exercise, over 100% of their safe heart rate, for less than 60 minutes experienced significantly reduced heart rate variability levels compared to people who engaged in mild exercise, 80 to 90% of safe heart rate. In a further warning not to engage in longer periods of exertion, long COVID patients who engaged in more than 60 minutes of exercise, regardless of intensity, experienced greater reductions in heart rate variability than patients who engaged in 20 minutes of exercise. Even short periods of intense exercise, over 100% of their safe heart rate, though, were associated with abnormal diurnal adjustments of heart rate variability in patients, i.e., abnormally reduced low heart rate variability at night. The takeaway: short periods of intense exertion and long periods of exertion at varying intensity hit heart rate variability levels at night particularly hard. The sleep heart rate variability, autonomic nervous system connection. The sleep problems in ME/CFS have been a mystery for a while. Despite the problems with unrefreshing sleep, a 2011 sleep study reported that ME/CFS studies have not revealed any substantive evidence indicative of a primary sleep disorder. Ditto, a 2011 review concluded, quote, "There is no demonstrable neurophysiological correlate to substantiate a basic deficit in sleep function in CFS," end quote. Then a 2012 review concluded that, quote, "polysomnographic and other objective measures of sleep," end quote, "have observed few difference in sleep parameters." Once again, ME/CFS seemed to evade the researchers' grasp. Nadelson, however, pointed out that non-EEG studies might be more effective in assessing sleep quality as far back as 1998. By 1997, researchers had shown that autonomic activation could induce sleepiness during the daytime. Still, it wasn't until 2007 that researchers explored how the autonomic nervous system might impact sleep in ME/CFS. Boneva started it off with a 2007 CDC study which found higher rates, reduced heart rate variability, and high norepinephrine levels during sleep, suggesting that a, quote, "state of sympathetic ANS predominance prevailed," end quote. Next, a 2011 Australian study, which found no differences in classical sleep tests, found evidence of reduced nighttime heart rate variability. That same year, Weiler's 2011 pediatric study found evidence of sympathetic nervous system fight-or-flight activation, increased blood pressure, heart rate, precisely when the body should relax and recover during sleep. The study noted that the, quote, "low heart rate variability strongly predicted sleep quality, suggesting a pervasive state of nocturnal sympathetic hypervigilance in CFS," end quote. Nadelson's 2013 study, and you can see a link to that in the text version of the article at this point, found no significant changes in sleep architecture, time spent in various stages of sleep, but significant changes in all heart rate variability measures between the two groups during sleep. When they looked deeper, they found that patients who felt sleepier had a higher fractal scaling index, suggesting that microarousals during non-REM or deep sleep were being undetected in traditional sleep studies. Looking deeper, a small 2018 Finnish study found that the expected gradual increase in parasympathetic activity as the participants entered slow wave sleep was missing in people with ME/CFS. They concluded that parasympathetic functioning during deep restorative sleep seems to be impaired in CFS. An even deeper dive into parasympathetic nervous system activity by Australians in a 2020 at-home sleep study found no reductions in sleep time or sleep stages. However, it revealed reduced parasympathetic nervous system activity during the deeper stages of sleep, NREM2 and slow wave sleep, which was correlated with self-reported sleep quality and well-being. The authors proposed that a missing autonomic de-arousal during slow wave sleep in the ME/CFS patients prevented them from experiencing the recuperation of energy that normally occurs during slow wave sleep in particular. Perhaps in an attempt to compensate, people with ME/CFS actually experienced more slow-wave sleep than the healthy controls in the study. But the crucial element, the quality of their slow-wave sleep, was lacking. During slow-wave sleep, the deepest stage of non-REM sleep, brain glucose consumption, energy consumption, drops significantly. The brain experiences greatly reduced neuronal activity and goes into repair mode. At this point in the article, you can see a link to Heart Rate Variability, an Underused ME/CFS and Fibromyalgia Management Tool, Part 2, Surveying the Landscape. Conclusion. All signs point to the fact that too much exertion, particularly intense and longer duration physical as well as mental exertion, disrupts autonomic nervous system functioning in people with long COVID and ME/CFS and fibromyalgia by putting them into a fight or flight enhanced sympathetic nervous system state. Milder exercise is better tolerated, but it can take the ANS 24 hours to recover after intense exercise. ANS dysfunction then takes its place alongside inflammation and the inability of the molecular repair systems to kick in the after-exercise period as a consequence of too much exertion. Interestingly, a similar type of parasympathetic withdrawal that fails to de-arouse the sympathetic nervous system during the deepest states of sleep may hold the key to unrefreshing sleep that people with these diseases experience. Problems with the stress response, then, may impact many areas on these diseases. Coming up, improving parasympathetic nervous system activity during slow-wave sleep. Please support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. You can give a one-time donation or give monthly at the links between the end of this article and the beginning of the comments section. Thanks for listening.